Hello, and welcome to Stories from India. This is a podcast where we talk about myths, legends, and folktales from India. I am your host, Narad Muni, and I'm a mythological character myself. I have the gift of eternal life and knowledge of the past, the present, and the future. By profession, I'm a traveling musician and a storyteller. So the way I'm doing my job is by podcast. In this episode, we are doing something very different from what we have done in the past. Instead of going into the past, we'll be going into the future. We can do this because, as I just explained, I have complete knowledge of the past, the present, and the future. That is to say, I have access to this knowledge. Sometimes, if I can't recall an event, I find it simple enough to travel into the past or the future and to see it live. I'm lucky from that perspective. If I want to know who won the 2022 Soccer World Cup, I just go to Qatar at the right time and see it live. And if I want to know who ate cookies from my cookie jar, I just go back in time and catch them in the act. From that perspective, you could consider me Doctor Who, if you've seen that show about the time-traveling Time Lord. Of course, unlike Doctor Who, I don't have a TARDIS, and I don't have an assortment of companions, and most of all, I don't go about saving lives all over the universe. Today, we are going to meet Kalki, Vishnu's upcoming avatar. Now, I brought up the TARDIS reference because today's story starts not on Earth, but in a spaceship. I'll just refer to everything in this story as if it happened in the past, because I went into the future, and for me, future Narad, these things had already happened. Do you see what I mean? I also have a good reason not to specify the time frame. I don't want to encourage you to gamble your savings on the stock market based on anything I say here today. I know some of you will still do it, but hey, don't say I didn't warn you. Let's just say that the story starts on a spaceship headed for Earth. Not the Earth we know and love, and whose air and seas we take every chance to pollute. The Earth in the story was one from the future, and therefore a rather different Earth, with some positives and some negatives. On the plus side, there was plenty of new technology to go about, running every aspect of your life for you. On the negative side, there was plenty of new technology to go about, ruining every aspect of life for you. On board the spaceship, which was called Shambhal by the way, there lived a family of three: Sumati, Vishnuyash, and their son Kalki. Kalki had been born in space, on board the spaceship. Sumati and Vishnuyash were old school parents. They did not believe in digital education for their children. They taught Kalki to always be mindful of his surroundings and to use all his senses. You might say that they were imposing their choices on the boy, but that was really only temporary, until Kalki had grown up. After that, he could make his own choices. And he seemed well on the path to doing that. Sometimes, he seemed grown up. He was so serious all the time and wise beyond his years. Yes, he still had his holographic companion follow him around everywhere, like most kids his age. But unlike most kids his age, he didn't use his pet to play silly games. He was always looking to gather more and more information about everything. Right now, for example, he was discussing Earth's history with his pet. His pet, by the way, had assumed the shape of a rabbit. Locked in their animated conversation, they seemed to be very excited about this trip to Earth. Vishnu Yash, on the other hand, was a little grumpy.
"I still don't see why we had to come all the way here for a tutor," he complained to Sumati.
"We've talked about it, dear," she reminded him. "Kalki needs an education."
"He can get that back home on..."
began Vishnu Yash, but Sumati cut him off quickly.
"Shh, don't say it. Don't say where we live. Narad promised not to give away too many details of the future on this show."
Vishnu Yash threw up his hands in exasperation.
"But why Earth? Of all the choices available to him? If he goes to university on Earth, the best our boy can hope for is to be a climate doctor or internet doctor. And that takes many, many years of practice before he can hope to draw a salary. Back home, he would be a prince."
Sumati looked her husband squarely in the eye and said, "I'm convinced that Kalki is meant for so much more than just being a doctor. Listen, I didn't tell you this before, but promise me not to laugh." She paused, and when he nodded, she continued, "I had a dream that Kalki is actually an avatar of Vishnu." If she thought that statement was going to shock her husband, she could not have been more wrong.
"Who is Vishnu? Pal of yours?" he asked.
Sumati shook her head in disappointment. But she loved her husband, so she patiently explained to him that Vishnu was the god of preservation of the universe. And also that Vishnu Yash's own name paid tribute to Vishnu.
"Huh? Who would have guessed that our names actually meant something? And they're linked to gods, you say?"
he asked her. "Yeah, people were rather out of touch in the future. Even just during the time of you listeners, in 2022, things that should be considered history are already thought of as mythology. In the future, very few people will remember mythology. Despite all my efforts." Sumati continued her explanation, even as Kalki and his rabbit walked over to join them. "Kalki says he has already found a university."
"Yes," said Kalki.
"It's the Parshuram Institute of Higher Learning. I expect to learn how to be a warrior." "Like Master Shifu from Kung Fu Panda. Or Yoda from Star Wars, if you want a pop culture analogy." The rabbit chimed in.
"I've never heard of that university."
Vishnu Yash narrowed his eyes with suspicion.
"Have you, rabbit?"
"I have not," admitted the rabbit. "But my databanks are only full of universities that advertise. If I don't know about it, it probably doesn't advertise. It does have a website, though, so it probably exists." "It is older than all the other universities, Daddy," Kalki interjected. "Well, maybe not Nalanda and Takshashila, but the rest. My prospective guru, Parshuram, doesn't just accept any students. He has only ever trained a few students in his entire life. and every one of them was an excellent warrior. I am confident he will tutor me.
If it is so exclusive, how will you know you will be accepted? How much is this going to cost me?
Not a rupee, chimed in the rabbit. Parshuram provides 100% scholarship.
How do you know that? I thought you didn't know anything about the university.
Kalki's dad asked the rabbit. To which, the pet replied, I didn't. I'm simply reading off of their website. When Kalki further said that he had aced all of his standardized tests and was confident of being accepted, Vishnuyash didn't want to continue this conversation. He resigned to having a quick meeting with this alleged professor and then at least enjoying the rest of the week in a hotel resort. That is, if Earth had any resorts left. But his mind wandered, and he began to wonder if this tutor's name also referenced some god or the other. It was an unusual name. He had never heard it before. Parshuram. What he didn't know was that Parshuram himself was another avatar of Vishnu. Yes, this is the very same Parshuram who has trained a few prominent people in the Mahabharata, including Bhishma, Dronacharya, and Karna. The next morning, after a long day of clearing immigration queues, they were finally ready to head for this Parshuram Institute of Higher Learning. But Kalki had another idea. He wanted to go alone. Sumati and Vishnuyash hesitated, but they had no data to back up their apprehension. The boy had never made a poor judgment call all his life. Going back all the way to infanthood, where Kalki himself picked the best Cyrillac flavor. When Kalki further added that he would not be taking his beloved pet with him, his parents realized that their boy was now all grown up. Sumati hugged him and shed a few tears, while Vishnuyash kept assuring her that Kalki would be back in an hour, once he found out that the Parshuram Institute of Higher Learning was a fake. It was a good thing that Kalki went alone, because the Parshuram Institute of Higher Learning turned out to be in a cave, on a mountain, in the middle of nowhere. Kalki was welcomed in by Parshuram himself. Politely. This was very different from when Parshuram had first met Ram, another avatar of Vishnu. That meeting had almost started with a battle. But we have covered that before in episode 16.
Why are you here?
Asked Parshuram, getting straight to the point. If you mean why I'm here on Earth, that's easy. I'm here to rid this world of evil.
I meant here, in my home. Why did you come to me?
Because you can teach me how to rid this world of evil. As I recall, you did a fair bit of ridding the world of evil yourself, in your time.
It didn't do me any good, Parshuram replied. Every day feels like I'm back to square one. Besides, I haven't kept my fighting skills up to date. I'm skilled with the axe, sure, but it wouldn't stand a chance against the guns and blasters that modern armies have. And look at me, I'm completely out of shape. What can I teach you?
Before Kalki could reply, Parshuram continued.
Have you also thought for a second how pointless your work is? You're supposed to be a warrior,
waving a sword about and destroying all evil just before a major extinction event like the one that killed the dinosaurs. Why? Why not just let the Pralaya, the extinction event, do all the work for you? Also, we are avatars of Vishnu, the preserver of the universe. Why are we destroying anything? Why not just leave that to Shiva, the destroyer? Kalki took a long pause before replying. First, we are not exactly preservers. We balance things between creation and destruction. Sometimes, it is necessary to scale down on creation by destroying some parts. Second, unlike a Pralaya, I'm not ridding the world of people. I'm just ridding the world of evil. There is a big difference there. It's especially important, before the Pralaya, to remove evil. Sort of like cleaning your new home before you move into it. Thirdly, and this has to do with the second point too, I'm not here to learn any physical skills from you. You're right. You are out of practice. The evil I'm fighting is not physical. It's digital. If you look through history, the digital world was completely secure for a long time, before it got suddenly worse. And it has kept getting worse. Of course, in the very early days of computing, there were viruses and hackers aplenty, but nowhere near the scale we know about now. Now, we have bots that intelligently adapt to the communities they operate in to maximize disruption. They've become experts at poisoning people's minds. It's not a far cry to attribute all of the world's problems to these bots that sow discord.
You may be right so far. But what you're describing is an abstract problem. How can I, or anyone, do anything to help?
There is something that can be done. Through some, shall we say, clever tricks, I managed to trace the route of all of these disruptive bots to just one data center.
Just one? A single point of failure? Who would design such a thing?
The Umbrella Q Corp. And one data center is not an unreasonable number. This data center, in Wuhan, is the only one that has escaped scrutiny. Every time any cybersecurity officials are about to raid it, some other problem pops up, and the raid is forgotten. The government doesn't act, and people won't act, because no one knows about it. Parshuram was silent for a long time.
All right. You've convinced me, Kalki. Every word you've said is correct. I know, because I came to a similar conclusion about the Wuhan data center and the Umbrella Q Corporation. But I can't train you. Best I can do is to give you a few things that I've been saving up for you. And then, you'll be on your way.
He led Kalki into the next room. The first thing he gave Kalki was a parrot.
What's up, Doc? Asked the parrot. You have a cracker for me?
Parrot, stay silent for 30 minutes, Kalki said, dismissively. The parrot didn't like that.
Watch it, buddy.
I'm not one of those digital pets, and I was serious about the cracker.
Parshuram sighed and pointed Kalki towards a bagful. Kalki gave the parrot a cracker, and that seemed to alter its mood dramatically. It rested on Kalki's shoulders and nuzzled his head affectionately. Next, Parshuram showed him a scooter with folding wings.
It's the latest model, the Devdutt 360,
affectionately called the flying horse. Great for low-altitude flying, and needs recharging only once a year, under moderate flying conditions.
Read instructions carefully before operating,
the parrot added, helpfully.
And lastly,
Parshuram said,
here's your sword.
He gave Kalki a small blue square, about 3.5 inches wide.
Hey, that looks like a 3D printed save icon,
chimed in the parrot.
It's a floppy disk, said Kalki. I read about those in the history books.
Those books are wrong,
the parrot asserted.
It doesn't look floppy to me. And where's the disk? This is a square.
Look, that's just how the name evolved, from an earlier version of this, okay? Turning to Parshuram, he continued. What I'd like to know is why you call this a sword. I was expecting something different. Is it possible you made a mistake?
No. This is it, lad. This disc is a sword. S-W-O-R-D. A software write once recovery device. It's an abbreviation.
But this looks all dusty and ancient and stuff. Will this even work on the Umbrella Q data center? And that data center probably has hundreds and even thousands of servers. Will I have to insert this into each one? Parshuram just smiled.
You'll have to figure it out yourself, won't you?
I've got it,
the parrot exclaimed.
The thing you're calling a floppy disk must be a cracker. A blue cracker meant for me. Oh, please, let me try to bite it. Just a tiny piece from the corner.
Kalki thanked Parshuram, booted up Devdutt, and took off into the sky, with the parrot trailing behind. Low altitude flying was fun. If he didn't have a mission to save the world, Kalki could try to join a Quidditch League back on his spaceship. The parrot prattled away on the journey, which made it a quick one. Turns out, its name was Shuka, and he had been waiting a long time for Kalki. He also had this ability to occasionally glimpse into the future. For example,
I see that we are going to a very cool place now, both literally cool and figuratively.
Right, said Kalki. It's what I expect the data center to be like. They need to keep it really, really cool. Otherwise, all those thousands of servers heat up and they'll melt that place down.
Why don't we just burn it down then? Asked Shuka.
No, there are innocent people who work there. I'm not going to hurt them, even if they work for an evil corporation. I'm going for something very subtle. I'll drop down from the skylight and access those systems and take my chances.
But if there really are thousands of servers, how will you use the floppy disk?
Kalki had no answer to this. Yet. They got there, and he did exactly what he had described. He left Devdutt in hover mode next to the skylight. He cut a hole in one of the panes of glass and delicately removed it. Then he simply hopped in. So far, no one had stopped him. None of the defensive systems were expecting a physical intrusion. So even though his presence was discovered by the Umbrella Q Corp, there was nothing done physically about it. The Umbrella Cube bots were desperately stirring up debate on all kinds of topics on every public forum. And Kalki strolled along the aisles unchallenged. Still, Kalki knew that a security guard would come by to do the rounds. So, he had to hurry.
Shuka, help me scan these computers quickly and look for a slot where we can insert this disk. And hurry, I think we have 5 minutes tops.
But despite searching several racks of servers, there was not a single slot in sight.
What about this one? This looks like a larger computer than all of the rest,
Shuka suggested. No, no, silly parrot. That's not a computer. That's an air conditioner, Kalki said, and stopped. Kalki stared at the parrot. The parrot stared back. Are you thinking what I'm thinking, Shuka?
Yes, said the parrot. That is, if you're thinking about grabbing crackers for lunch on the way home.
Kalki laughed. If this works, I'll get you a barrel full of crackers. He quickly began examining the air conditioning system. Single point of failure, indeed. In the system of complicated tubing, Kalki found exactly the place he had been looking for. It was a tiny gap. An object inserted there would render the air conditioning master system completely inoperative. That gap was exactly the thickness of the floppy disk. And the color of the system perfectly matched that of the disk. Once Kalki inserted the disk, no one could tell it was even there. They wouldn't find it. And Kalki was sure it wouldn't trigger alarms. The servers would continue operating without automatic shutdown. And that meant they would overheat and melt down.
So that's it then?
Asked Shuka, once they had gotten out of the data center.
The end of evil?
Maybe, said Kalki. I sure hope so. I thought this would be it. But I can't help feeling that this was just the first step. Removing all those evil bots helps immensely. But I think we have a lot more to do. And despite what Parshuram says, there might be physical dangers too. What happened to Kali, the demon and personification of the Kali Yuga? He was in episode 120. Why didn't he stop us today at the data center? Today's mission went smoothly. A little too smoothly. It sounds too good to be true.
Well, you better hurry, Shuka said,
as his eyes slowly unfocused after seeing another vision of the future.
Because the Pralaya is coming, and it's coming very, very soon.
That's where we'll end it this week. A few notes. All the information people have in 2022 about Kalki are more or less accurate. His parents were indeed Sumati and Vishnu Yash. He was indeed trained by Parshuram, if you can call it training. And he had a parrot sidekick. There are subtle differences though. He was born in the spaceship Shambhal and not in the town of Shambhal. And the winged horse that you might have heard about was actually the Devdutt 360 flying scooter. The way time works in Indian mythology is that there are different yugs or eras. The boundary between these yugs is usually a pralay, or dissolution. These yugs are cyclical. There's the Satya Yug, the Treta Yug, the Dwapar Yug, and finally the Kali Yug. Each of these eras has a different length than the other. We have seen the concept of pralay before, as early as in episode 1, Unicorn Fish. That's where the pralay was volcanoes, earthquakes, followed by a giant flood. There is the concept of a deity yet to arrive in a number of cultures around the world. Similar to Kalki in Indian mythology, there is the prophesied return of Jesus Christ in Christianity, of Maitreya in Buddhism. Shambhal is considered to be the inspiration for the mythical Shangri-La in the Kunlun Mountains in modern-day Tibet. If you have watched the Doctor Strange movie, there is a reference to Shambhal in it. Bit of an Easter egg, really. As Kalki said, we have previously met Kali, the personification of the Kali Yug. That was in the Nala and Damayanti story in episode 120. With today's episode, we have covered all of Vishnu's avatars. Check the links to those earlier episodes in the show notes on the website sfipodcast.com. Next time, we'll go back to the Ramayana, where Hanuman will continue to explore the island of Lanka. Not as a tourist, but in his mission to find and rescue Sita. If you have comments or suggestions, or if there are particular stories that you would like to hear, please do let me know by leaving a comment or a review on the site sfipodcast.com or tweet at sfipodcast. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook. Be sure to subscribe to the show to get notified automatically of new episodes. A big thank you to each and every one of you for your continued support and your feedback. The music is from purpleplanet.com. That's purple-planet.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.